Welcome to Logan City Christian Church podcast, where we bring God's word to you weekly. We pray that what you hear will bring clarity to your situation and open doors in your life. Enjoy the message.
God reigns, and he really does. He has never ceased reigning from the beginning of time. And that's something really worthwhile meditating on. Good morning, church. It's lovely to be with you again this morning. And those watching online, good morning. It's lovely that we could be together and worship the Lord and come together as a church family. I'm going to continue from last week's message. Last week, I spoke on understanding how faith works. Today, it's understanding how to release faith. And it's not hard. I do believe that God made the gospel easy to understand. And, you know, fishermen and tax collectors, farmers understood it. So that leaves me in good stead. I guess it leaves all of us in a good place to be able to understand. And I do believe it's really important that we're taught right the first time if possible. And unfortunately for me, I didn't understand what faith really is. And when I got hold of it, it just changed my entire life. And faith is a rest. I will say that. Faith is not a risk. Faith is a rest. And when we find that true place of faith, it is a rest. This morning we have something a little bit different that, could I ask Chantel and Eleanor if you could come up, please? You want to bring the microphone with you? That would be good. We just got a few testimonies in relation to what I was speaking on last week about how God imbirths faith. And, you know, that rhema word that he speaks, or we read the word of God and you go, wow, this is my promise, this is my guarantee that I know this is what God is saying. And then when I release that, and then we see things happen. Who would like to go first, Chantel or Eleanor? Who would like to go first? Oh, they're offering each other. Why don't you both come up? That might be better. Why don't we welcome them as they come up? I'm going to go and sit down because I...
Good morning, church family. And thank you, Pastor Rob and Pastor Chantel. We will always be eternally grateful that you have taught us God's word, the truth. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And our pastor has faithfully taught us every week the word of God. Many years back, I had some surgery, which didn't concern me too much at the time. Until the day I thought I was going home, and instead I was taken to the hospital office and told I had a cancer and that I would be needing more surgery and that the survival rate was 9 months to 2 years. A nurse took me back to my room and the room was totally empty. I was in shock, but I had a calmness and I walked into the room. It was totally empty. And I stood there because it was sort of surreal, but suddenly this voice, almost right in front of me, said, "Be still and know that I am God." And I knew that was the voice of God. It was a commanding voice, a comforting voice. I can still hear it now in my mind. And I will never forget that voice. I'd only need to hear one word and I would know that, again, is the voice of God. A couple of days later, I was still in this room on my own. They were preparing me blood tests. And I heard the voice again, but it was much quieter. And the voice said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And that was my directions from God, take to learn from him. And I went home and I got my Bible and I put all little post-it notes. I got all the healing scriptures, all the faith scriptures. And because God knows me, he didn't say, you are the healed of the Lord, or I would have said, yippee, that's great, and then on with life. But no, I was told to step aside and learn from God. I was fortunate to be brought up in a Christian family, but I had to learn. And I knew that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And I knew I had a fight on my hands and I had to hang on. I had to hang on to this. I knew I would be healed right from when I heard the words, be still and know that I am God. But I didn't know when I would be healed, and I knew I would have a fight on my hands. And so daily I would read these scriptures. They would take me 20 minutes or hours if I meandered through. But I would read them 6 times a day because I was pretty much laid up now. And I just devoured the word. I soaked in these scriptures. And I didn't feel healed, and I didn't know when I would be healed, because the Bible says that the lepers, as they went, they were healed. But I was doing what I could, what I felt the Holy Spirit was leading me to do. I knew I could not allow fear to come in, because fear and faith cannot stand side by side. And so when you go through something like this, you do have a battle, because the enemy is always trying to get you into fear. I remember one night I woke up, it was the hot night in February, and there was a loud noise. And as I came awake, I realized it was my teeth chattering. And it was not cold, it was hot. And I was shaking in fear. And you don't know what to do, but I had my weapon. I had the Word of God. I had my Holy Bible. And I picked it up. That was the only weapon I had, but it was all I needed. And I went downstairs, and I had all my scriptures marked out, and I would walk the floor and say these scriptures. And I had the Holy Spirit showed me I had to speak them audibly, and I had to hold my Bible, not just take them off a piece of paper. I had to hold God's word and declare them out loud. So I did that for 2 years until the Lord said, he released me from that. But I just knew I had to do that. And I never missed. For 2 years, every day I'd be in the car going to church and I would be reading my scriptures. The thing was, I had to learn to totally trust and obey. Also, I had to go back for a second lot of surgery and some other treatment, and I didn't want to go, but my family wanted me to go, and the Lord rebuked me with a rhema scripture. And the scripture was Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And as I read that, I could hear that same tone, that same timbre of the Lord's voice as I was reading that scripture. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for what I learned through that time. You may think it is awful being being unwell, but it was so a peaceful time. It was a wonderful time that I was with the Lord, and I learned so much. And I can honestly say, when I look back now, that the closeness I had with my Heavenly Father was just so wonderful, and I wouldn't change it. And I had Pastor Peter and Esther, a man from their group that they used to teach. My mother brought him around, and he taught me these scriptures, to speak these scriptures out. And the night I came home from hospital, the first night, while I was in hospital, I knew I had to go and be prayed for. And my daughter took me to Clark Taylor's church on a Thursday night. And it wasn't Clark Taylor, but that's right. I was in the presence there. And I can't say to this day when I was healed, but I think of the in Mark, it gives an account of Jairus, when he went to the leader of the synagogue and he went to Jesus and said, "Please come, my little daughter is dying. Please come and lay your hands on her and she will be healed." And Jesus immediately went with him, but as he was going, a woman put her hand out and touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. And God knew that power had gone out of him, healing power had gone out of him. And he said, "Who touched me?" And the woman was very worried because she wasn't supposed to be out, but she said, she admitted it was her. And he said, "Woman, your faith has made you whole." And Jesus continued on with his disciples. Now, I think Jesus would have known the little girl had died, but they continued on to Jairus' house. But as they went, some men from Jairus' house said, "Don't bother the master. Your little daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master anymore." And Jesus immediately said to Jairus, "Be not afraid." "Be not afraid, only believe." And they went to the house, and you know the account. They put all these people that were crying and wailing outside, and Jesus would only allow the mother, the father, and three of his disciples into the house. He would not have any fear, he only wanted faith in that house. And he said to the little girl, "Arise." And she was healed from that day, and the parents were amazed, of course. But we serve he's a wonderful Heavenly Father, a wonderful Heavenly Father. And when things go wrong, we really have to dig in deep. It's not easy. You have to dig deep. You can be fighting for your life, but it's worth it. You dig in deep. And our little granddaughter comes and stays with us on a Friday night, sleeps over. And this Friday night, she wasn't going to sleep, and she lay on the bed, and I lay on the bed with her, and I said, "Should we just choose some of the animals that would be going into the ark?" And it's amazing what a five-year-old, the kind of critters that a five-year-old creatures comes up with. But we had all these animals, and then I began to think later, you know, God had prepared that ark. He didn't want 57 elephants. The boat was not built. It was prepared for two elephants, a male and a female. He had prepared a place for two giraffes, a male and a female. He had prepared that boat perfectly as he wanted it, and also for their food and the preparation, and for Noah's family. Now, many people had been given the opportunity to go on the ark, but people are made in the image of God, but they have their own free will. Now, there was many animals that went on that ark. God called those animals. He called them, and they would have heard, and two by two, those animals went onto the ark. There has a place prepared for them, but there was only eight people that went onto the ark, and then God shut the door. And so Jesus has said he has gone to prepare a place for us. And he said, "I will return again. and bring you unto myself. But he said, as in the days of Noah, so it will be when he returns for us. So we need to be ready. We are so grateful to you, Pastor Rob, for teaching us. We need that indwelling faith within us, and we need to hold on to God's word and know that, and teach our family, teach, just be so open with people, because the time now is very short. And I thank you for listening.
Oh, thank you, Eleanor. What an amazing testimony. 9 months to 2 years. And how long ago was that, Eleanor?
22 years.
There you go. Our God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. When Rob asked me to share this morning, I was kind of, I was thinking back to this time, and it's just like Eleanor, it's just amazing when you look back to see what God has done in your life. And so with me, I wasn't born into a Christian family. I was raised Catholic. Went to Catholic school, and as you do, you go to Mass every week. So I knew about God. I think I loved God. And so when I'd finished primary school, I went to a state high school. I didn't go to a Catholic high school. And so as I was going to that high school, because, of course, they're not going to have Mass every week, I was kind of missing that. I was missing that connection with God. And one day on parade, they announced that they were going to play a movie, a Christian movie, and anyone who was interested, they were going to start a group. It was called ISCF back in those days, Inter-School Christian Fellowship. And I thought, you know what, I want to go to that, because I still want to have that connection with God. So I went along to this thing, played in the lunch hour, and it was actually the Cross and the Switchblade, the original, giving away my age. So that was just an amazing, movie, amazing testimony of what God could do in someone's life. And so after the movie, there were two of the high school teachers, they were actually science teachers, were born-again Christians. And I'd never even heard of born again. I didn't know what that was. And after the movie, they invited anyone. They explained about Jesus and how he died on the cross and how we needed a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I had never heard that in all my years of going to Catholic school and going to Mass. And there was something in me that was drawing me to that. And that day, I actually gave my heart to Jesus. And I just sensed such a weight come off me. It was just incredible. I'll never forget that day. So moving forward a few years later, I met Rob. We met, I was 17, he was 18. But he wasn't saved. And so anyway, we continued to date. By that point, we'd moved out. My family had moved out away where I was not going to church. So I really backslid, not blaming Rob in any way, but so I wasn't going to church. So, you know, it's really important to fellowship. It's really important to go to church. So I wasn't getting that, you know, weekly message from the Lord and that fellowship and that encouragement. So after that, we got engaged, we got married, and during when we got engaged, yeah. There was something that happened in our family that really, really rocked my faith. My dad and my younger brother were in a car accident, and my younger brother died. And yeah, so that was pretty tough. and my dad became paraplegic. So I remember going to church when I was a teenager. I was told things happen, God does things to teach you something. And I always remember that message. And so when this happened to our family, I straight away, my thought process went back to remembering what I'd heard in that God does things to teach you something. And for the life of me, I could not understand, what are you teaching me, God, here? Because all I'm feeling here is absolute pain. Like, it was just heart-wrenching, and I couldn't see any good out of it at all. So for a long time, I rejected God. I wanted nothing to do with him. I pretty much went about my day as though he didn't exist. At that point, my mum started obviously asking questions and searching as well. And just to cut a long story short, there was an ad in the paper, and she ended up meeting these born-again Christian people who were running a little church. And so Mum started going to that, and Mum would come back, and I could see that she was changed, and she just seemed different and hopeful. And she would say to me, "You need to come. It's so good, you know." And I said, "Mum, I want nothing to do with God. That's done for me, you know." And so she just continued to ask me, and I continued to say no, until one day I just thought, "Oh, okay, all right, Mum, I give in. I'll just go just to please her." That day I went. The preacher preached on John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life, and life more abundantly. And so it was like this light bulb moment for me, where I realized all this time I'd been blaming God for what had happened, and I didn't know that it was the enemy that kills, steals, and destroys. And so from that day, I actually rededicated my life to the Lord, and it was a faith church at that time, but it was great teaching, and it's what I needed, probably what Mum needed at that time too. And so I was going every week. I couldn't stop praying and reading my Bible. It was just amazing. And so by this time I was married, and I thought, right, I'm going to start praying for Rob's salvation. Yeah, so, but the interesting thing was, there was only one scripture that I ever got from the Lord, just one. And it's in Mark 11:22, and it says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them.'" And that was really the only scripture that I would pray. Like, I'd be doing, I'd be at work or doing things around the house, and this scripture I'd just be prompted to say this scripture over Rob's life. And I would just see him in church raising his hands, just surrendering to God. And that's pretty much all I did. That's whenever I felt prompted. And it didn't matter what I saw him do. Like, he would, you know, come home drunk, or he would invite his cousin over and they would blow up a car in the backyard. Mind you, I was like 8.5 months pregnant when that happened. I nearly had Megan that night. So he was doing all these things, but it was like, well, God has given me this word, and this word is far more truth than anything that I can see or feel or experience. And so I just kept claiming the scripture. And then, now, can I just say, I prayed this for 9 years. So, you know, sometimes we're kind of in a hurry and we want God to do it now, Lord, or yesterday, you know, because we don't like to wait, and we want to see the things that we pray for come to pass. But God has a reason. I don't know why it took 9 years, but God has a reason. And so 9 years from when I started speaking this scripture, at 2 o'clock in the morning, Rob gave his heart to the Lord. And yeah, so just incredible. So don't give up. I guess what I'm wanting to say too is don't give up. Just keep pressing in because God will come through. And the only thing that I didn't pray for was to become a pastor and run a church. I was just like, God, I never prayed that. That wasn't on my list. But anyway, His ways are higher and bigger than ours, amen. And I just say that I absolutely am honoured to do what we do, but it's certainly not something that I wanted or planned to do, but God knows best. And so, yeah, give Him all the glory, amen. Thank you.
I'm really glad you stopped blowing up cars because it got a lot worse. Praise God. Yeah, I should write a book one day, but no one would buy it because you wouldn't believe it. But it is very important to have faith in God. In spite of what all you may be going through or seeing or experiencing, have faith in God. Now, last week I was explaining about what Scripture actually means, as says, about faith, that faith is not something that we manufacture. And this is where I think it has gone wrong at times, that we think, I've got to somehow get faith from somewhere so that I can believe God to do something. But that's not how it works. That faith is always instigated by God, not by man. Faith always, always is instigated by God. For God has given to all a measure of faith. And so what happens is in our life, you know, last week I had some really good conversation with some of you guys about this subject from last Sunday. It's like faith can be almost like God leading us. Like, in other words, you may be like this particular person was saying, you know, I felt that God was calling me to another country to do, some work. And he said, and I followed that. And next thing you know, this man has an incredible ministry over there, and it started with, and it was imbirthed into him. And when he believed what that inner persuasion was, that inner leading, God was able to lead this man on, but God planted the seed in him first. And the same goes with, like, Eleanor, thank you, and by the way, Vonnie, and last week, Eleanor as well, two Eleanors, and Chantel, thank you for sharing that, because we do need to be reminded that God is still alive and He's still doing miracles. He's still healing people. He's still, you know, bringing families together. He's still doing a lot of things. I had a wonderful testimony this morning about God restoring a family. It's just so wonderful. But you see, God, He gives us, He imparts into us that substance. And when we discern that, see, God said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? So when we are facing trials in life, it's then when we stop and say, God, what are you saying? Are you showing me, you know, what are you showing me? Is there something you want to do here? And I guarantee you that God will birth in you a faith for that moment, an inner convincing that God's saying, look, I'm with you. And I'm going to show you how to get through this if you just believe in what I've been birthed into your spirit and follow that and believe in that, and you will see it'll come to pass. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 11. It's very, very important that I do this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1. Do you enjoy the testimonies this morning? It's encouraging, isn't it? Very, very encouraging. God is still on the throne. God is still doing miracles. God is still working. He's still doing the same thing, and He does it well. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1, the Word of God reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed in the Word of God." By the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are invisible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Hey, what a way to go. How good is that? Verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. In verse 12, therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Faith. These heroes of faith, and there are many today, there are heroes of faith sitting in this room and some watching online, that you are here because of faith. You're here because of, you know, you've overcome things in life with, the, you know, God's help, without a doubt. But I'd just like to go through a few verses here, and as I expand it, I know it's going to encourage you a lot. And verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Remember that faith is something that God imbirths into us. He imbirths it into us, and then God is waiting for a response from us. And when he imbirths it and we respond to it and we believe, we see that our believing in God's faith, his in-birth persuasion, that it's there and it's that pleases God. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11 said that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so that faith, God's given to each and every one, but it's when we respond to that faith, when we respond to that inner stirring in our spirit that really pleases God, and God then is able to do what he wants to do. Now, faith is the substance. So what does that word substance mean? I'm glad you asked. I prepared it, so how good is that? That word substance, I won't even try and pronounce it in the Greek. It's about 3 miles long, but let's just talk about what it means. It means to stand or to possess. It means standing under a guaranteed agreement. It means a title deed. So faith is the substance. Faith is standing under a guarantee, an agreement that God has already made with us. It's a title deed. You know, a title deed that if you own a house or land or property and you have a title deed, that title deed indicates that that's yours, that belongs to you. And faith is the substance. That substance is what is convincing us to say the promise of God belongs to you. Faith is the title deed. The substance of it is this very thing. So figuratively, it's a promise. It's a legitimate claim because it is literally a legal standing. So when we see that when God imbirths faith, that it says here that his faith is the substance, it's substance. It's a legitimate claim to your promise that God has given you. Is that something? That's what it means. And so it means entitling someone to what is guaranteed under the agreement, under that agreement. Now, it's interesting to know that God, He is the one that initiated the agreement. He is the one that initiated the faith. All He wants us to do is to believe. To believe, as Eleanor said in the scripture this morning, only believe. Jesus said, only believe. So for me, the revelation that came to me quite a few years ago now is that when I began to understand faith is not something that I had to somehow dig up or, you know, that sort of, and I used to try and try and try and try and realize that, well, maybe I'm just not cut out for this. Has anyone ever been there? But faith is something that God imbirths into us. And God knows everything you're going through. And so, you know, your test or trial your needs may change from the day to tomorrow, but God is always imbirthing faith into you for whatever that need may be, but whatever that struggle may be. So God's always imbirthing into us inner convincing, saying, I'm with you, believe me, trust me, and I'll get you through. But our part is the believing. God imparts the faith. And I think sometimes it's been taught the other way around, that we've got to have the faith in somewhere. Where do I get faith from? Do I dig it up from under a rose bush? Do I, you know, go down the shop and buy it from Bunnings? Or no, faith is something that God imparts into His people for a need. And when we receive that inner birthing and that witness and that inner guarantee, it's like, you know it, I know it. And it's just like it's been mentioned this morning that it's beyond, it's not natural, it's supernatural. And when we get hold of this inner persuasion and we know, like Eleanor said, that voice of God, I know what you're talking about, it's a firm, stern, authoritative voice, but yet it's calming, it's soothing, and it's, you know, it's just so good, but you know it's God speaking. When God speaks these words and you hear these words and they resonate in your spirit, and then we act and we respond accordingly to what that inbirthing is, that we see God begin to move. And it's just so amazing how God in heaven, He sees humanity, you know, in so many different sorts of problems, if I can say, and God from heaven looks and goes, I've inbirthed into you faith, believe. And when you believe and your belief lines up with that inbirth, that inner convincing, that faith, that you trust God and you follow. If He says, go here, you go there. If He says, go do that. If He says to whatever. And if you just follow those little steps, that follow those promptings, The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God's always trying to orchestrate His people because He loves us and He wants to lead us into a better pasture, into a better place. That's what God does because He's our Heavenly Father and He loves us and He cares for us. He's always leading us. He's always imbirthing faith into us. You know, regardless what goes on in life, God's always got something ready for us to imbirth into us. Our part is to believe. I spent years trying to dig faith up from somewhere. And the reason why I was doing this is because I didn't understand how it works. And God, it's just the grace of God that He imbirths this into us, saying, there's a miracle waiting inside of you. There's a miracle waiting. Act on it. Believe it. Walk into it. And we see the amazing hand of God that just works. And so the scripture says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So what are things hoped for? What does that mean? It means to hope, obviously, actively waiting for God's fulfillment of the faith He has imbirthed through the power of His love. I'll say that again. This is not things that I have made up, by the way. This comes directly from the concordance and the lexicon, that it explains exactly what these words mean. And so let me say it again, things hoped for, obviously to hope, but it means to actively waiting, not waiting, it means actively waiting. So if it's actively waiting, that means that we are doing something. Amen. So it's actively waiting for God's fulfillment about the faith he had birthed in us through the power of his love. So in other words, it reinforces it here again. The word faith, it means that in-birth persuasion. The substance, it's speaking about this entitlement, this title deed. But then things hoped for, it is speaking about the reinforcing, the reinforcement of the promise, as I said here, actively waiting for God's fulfillment of the promise that he had birthed in us. There is so much, if you were to read through, if you have a concordance or a lexicon, or study this scripture that I'm speaking on this morning, and you will see how often that it's kind of like over and over, the Holy Spirit through repetition is bringing from different angles, different words that's meaning the same thing, leading people to the same outcome. And basically the end of it all is trust God. Trust in what he's doing in your life. Trust him. Believe God. And you see great and wonderful things happen. So it says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that word evidence isn't another amazing word. It means inner conviction, which same thing what faith means. But you see that the Holy Spirit, as he moved upon men to write this scripture, had an intention, and that was by repetition to really reinforce this message. And so the evidence, the inner conviction, and it focuses on God confirming his inner birthing of faith, the internal persuasion from him. Here it is again. That's the third time in one verse of Scripture that the same message coming from different ways has been conveyed. See, that to me, that's telling me that God really wants us to get something here. And what it is that God imbirths faith. There's an inner conviction that we are to be actively waiting for the fulfillment of this faith. We also, with this inner conviction, that we're focusing on God, and when he's confirming the in-birth faith in us, this is an incredible thing. You see, it goes on to say, for by it, verse 2, the elders obtained a good testimony. You see, by faith, this faith. See, they understood the reason why these people are in the Hebrews 11, which is also known as the Hall of Faith. You know, we have the Stockman Hall of Fame up at Long Reach, and you know, all the famous Stockmen and so forth that did incredible things and pioneers. Their pictures are up there, their stories and that, because they accomplished something, they understood something. And here we have in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, people's names are written in there, real people. And the reason is because they came across this revelation of what faith really is, and how to use it, how to operate it, how to release it, and how to move in it. Now, they were not perfect people. They were all people with faults just like everybody else. But when they understood the process of faith and how it worked, and they walked in it, it's that pleased God so much. In verse 3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed and by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are invisible. Now, you know, there's speculation that this is speaking about all these different worlds and, you know, weird stuff. This is clearly speaking about the universe, and it's primarily speaking about planet Earth here as far as the worlds that were framed. Because it says about the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. It's speaking of a tangible, something tangible. And so we speak about the heavens, we speak about the earth. But it says here, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed. So what does that word framed mean? It means to be in good working order. It means to fully function. So God had fully functioned this world by faith, by him himself, by doing what he did. But it says, by the word of God. By the word of God. The word of God here is the word rhema, which is the spoken word by the living voice of God. is commonly used in the New Testament and the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of Hebrew, of the Hebrew scriptures. For the Lord is speaking his dynamic living word in the heart of a believer. And this is how one of the ways how he inbirths faith in us, the inner persuasion. In Romans 10:17, it says, "So faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God." And so it's a spiritual hearing that takes place here. And so when we think about it here now, we may be going through a test or a trial or not understanding things or whatever it might be. Just picture your situation right now, what you may be experiencing. Have a listen to this. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Let's just stop there and just spend a little bit of time here because I think it's a worthy thing to do. How does the world work? Earth spins at a certain speed. They say that if the earth slowed down a little bit or sped up a bit, things are not going to work in balance here. And there happens to be a moon that works the tides, and we have the earth and the solar system that just works so perfectly, and the sun and everything just works so incredibly well, so intricately, that God, and he spoke it by his word into being. This is the same God that inbirths faith into you and into me. It's the same God with the same capability. Do you think, or do I think, or are we convinced that the same God who created the heavens and the earth and the seas and so perfectly and has everything working so well and in order has the capacity to birth into you the same order, the same power, that if we believe what God has birthed in us, that there could be an incredible miracle in our life? It's the same God. It's the same faith. It's the same person. It's the same process. Nothing has ever changed with God. And then we see that God, how he spoke. You know, there was chaos and darkness, and God said, "Let there be light." And light came. The power of God's word, that God himself, with that rhema word, he spoke creation into being, he spoke light into being, and then God in his wisdom, I'll skip a few verses, and then God created the trees and he created animals. And how does a seed, please, how do we know we can cut a seed open and, you know, they say the DNA in the seed, and we know that now, but we still don't probably understand it, how it got there, unless we understand that God created it. Amen. So God created life. God created each seed to produce after its own kind. It's an incredible thing. And so we see that since the beginning of creation, that we've seen creation has continued to reproduce perfectly. So then God creates man. He created him in his image and likeness. He created them. When we look at our fingerprints, to think there's not one person in this room with the same fingerprints. In fact, in this world, with the same fingerprints, that your eyes are so different to any other human being's eyes. Anyone that's ever lived before, yet God created you, and he created them, and yet you're so different. You're unique, fearfully and wonderfully made. And so we see this incredible architecture, if I can say, by God himself that created you so totally different but unique to anybody else. And he did this by intention. He intentionally made you different. This is the same God that had the power, the wisdom, and the ability to do that, is the same one that wants to help you through your trials today. He's the same God that wants to help you get through whatever you may be facing today. He's the same God with the faith that He used to create this world that we see, the things that are seen. He's the same God who imbirths into our spirit every time there is a need or something that we're, a place that we're in and a place of need, that God's saying, I've already got it covered for you. Here it is. And we receive it. I believe our focus should be a lot more on meditating what God's doing in our lives. I mean, daily, thinking about it, wake up in the morning, God, today is a new day. This is the first day of the rest of my life. What have you got for me today? God, what are you speaking to me today? What's your heart today? And often you'll find that God will, you'll discern in your spirit that God's trying to speak to us or show us something. And we need to give God the time to relay that, what it is, and for us to discern it. But in this world, we're always in a hurry. Rush, rush, rush. The alarm clock goes off at whatever time in the morning. We get up, probably whatever, do what you do, have your cornflakes, and just thinking, oh man, I got time for a coffee and I got to go. Then you rustle and bustle through traffic and you get to work, and people are not happy because hardly anyone's happy in the mornings these days. And you know, it's just chaos, and somehow we've got to survive. And we come home, then you got to do this and do that and feed the kids and do the washing and, you know, all these things. And you sit down in the armchair at the end of the day and you go, oh, I'm so tired, and we go to bed. And the next day we wake up early in the morning, alarm clock goes off, you eat your wheat mix or your cornflakes, and the process goes over and over and over and over. And somewhere we've got to stop the clock and say, hang on a minute, I need some time out with God, because I'm going through some things, and I am sure that He has imbirthed some faith in me to get me through what I'm going through, and I need to stop and take time out to hear what God's saying, to see what God's doing. We get so busy. I was reading, I forget, sometime in history, I think it was the 1600s, 1700s, whatever, that they, in France, they wanted to eliminate all kinds of, or trace of Christianity, and I think they were worked out a 10-day week. And when I read this, a 10-day week? Wow, could you imagine the work we could get done in 10 days? And I felt the Lord say to me, it wasn't me any different. You'll fill it up just like you do with seven. You do the same. And I thought, yeah, I know I would. But what I'm trying to say here is, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed and put in order by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. In other words, God is awesome. He's amazing. And He's not left you alone. He's imbirthed the faith into you for today, to get you through today. And when we discern that and identify it and believe God that this day is a day of endless possibilities in you, wow, this is an awesome, awesome experience. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise be to God. I want to quickly look at Galatians. I'm going to just do a few things, then we'll close. Galatians chapter 3. It's a really important passage of Scripture here that it really highlights this message even more so. Galatians chapter 3, I will read from verse 1 to verse 5. And so Apostle Paul's speaking to the Galatians, and you know, they got born again, and then the Judaizers are trying to come along and take them back to the law, and Paul's saying, come on guys, you've experienced God, and why are you looking back? You got to go forward. And he says from verse 1 of Galatians chapter 3, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Faith is heard. We hear it. That God speaks into us. We heard this morning, Eleanor heard it, Chantel heard it. God dropped that little, still small voice in there, but it was enough. It was enough. Chantel said, I only had one scripture, but one scripture was enough. And so the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you're now being made perfect in the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, and indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Isn't that amazing? Within a few verses, the Holy Spirit again has used two phrases the same, by the hearing of faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by, and by hearing the. The question is today, how much time are we spending hearing? Hello? We need to listen to what God's saying and hear and take note of these things. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's move along very quickly. And so let's have a quick look at those who obtained a good testimony by faith. Acting and believing, this in-birth faith. Faith is not a New Testament principle. Faith's always been from the beginning of time, as we're about to see in a moment. But, you know, these people are all recorded in the Hall of Faith because they understood how to release faith. And it's really important to know how to release faith. It's one thing to understand, okay, I've got faith. This faith is in-birthed me. Now what do I do? What do I do? And so when we receive it and we know it, we believe it, we've got to act on it and have a listen to how these people did it. Really, really amazing. Verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11, I better go back there. Hebrews chapter 11. You still with me? Good. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. In other words, his testimony is still being spoken about today, and is still valid today. And there's something in his offering that he did that is still relevant to today. And this is the important part. So, by faith, Abel. So, in other words, Abel was given a measure of faith when it came to the Abel and Cain presenting an offering to God. We know that Cain, he got the fruit of the ground and, you know, he prepared it. Now, you might think, well, what a scallywag. You know, in the Bible it does teach about that they gave grain offerings to the Lord, and they gave, you know, offerings of the ground and of trees and fruit to the Lord. And so it's not that it is wrong as such to give that to God, but it wasn't what God was looking for. So what we have the picture here is what made Cain and Abel so different. Why did God receive Abel and his sacrifice? And why did God reject Cain and Cain's sacrifice? The sacrifice that was offered was a result of the heart of the offerer. Is that a word, offerer? It is now. Of the person giving the offering. So the offering is not the problem. It's the person's heart that decided what to give or how much to give. That's what we're going to look at right now. So Abel, he's the guy that passed the test, right? He's still being spoken about today. So the picture here, if you were to read it carefully and go back to Genesis, and you will see something really amazing, why Abel made it in the Hall of Faith. It was simply this. If you could picture Cain and Abel side by side, and it came offering time, God had imparted into both of them the same conviction, the same faith, knowing what to do beyond any doubt. Cain, I'm going to do that. Abel, oh Lord, I feel that inner conviction. I feel you're really showing me that the offering is to do this. And Abel got the best of the flock and offered it to God. That's the difference. It was faith, inner faith, that came to action, that turned to worship. And also that offering was redemptive. There's nothing redemptive about grain. And so that's where he went. How's that time going? We're almost run out. Let me just go very, very quickly. By faith, Enoch. Enoch was a man of faith, and he pleased God that much that he said, you're too good for this earth. You're coming up here with me. By faith with Noah. Where's Noah? Over here. We know the story with Noah. It says about how God said to him, I want you to build an ark, something that's never been seen before. And it says that Noah moved with godly fear, and he did. He began to build what has never been built before, because something that has never come before was coming. The rain had never fallen on planet Earth at that time. So could you imagine if God woke you up in the middle of the night and said, Peter, I want you to build me a gamdanya, because this gamdanya is going to be really important. You've got to build it right, because gamadui is going to fall from the sky, and this gamdanya is going to float on the gamadui. And here's the plans, and I want you to build it. Noah didn't know what it was. He didn't know what rain was. He didn't know what the ground was going to break open. He had no idea. So we need to know that. He had no idea what he was. It had never been built before, ever. And something that was going to fall on the from the sky and come up from, had never happened before. So it was a new thing for Noah. But Noah, with that inner conviction, he moved with godly fear. We see that it turned to the saving of the souls of eight and of the animals, of course. Praise the Lord. Abraham, unbelievable. Here's Abraham and Sarah. They're well advanced in years, and God's saying, hey, guess what? You guys are going to be parents. And it's like, are you serious? I thought we'd gone past that. God says to Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and your descendants are going to be as the stars in the sky, the sand by the sea, so shall your descendants be. And I could only imagine Abraham, are you real? Yeah, he's getting on, and Sarah's getting on. Sarah was spoken to, and she received that word, and she laughed at first, but then she thought, well, if God is God, let him be God. But here's what God did. I'm sure there were times that Abraham would have thought, how could this be? Look at my age. How old was he? Getting up around the 100. Well, now he's getting about the ton on the speedo. He's starting to get old. So here he is, thinking life's about ready to wind up, thinking about, you know, the next home. And God says, hey, guess what? By the way, did I tell you, Abraham, you're going to be a father? You what? He said, yeah. And this is how it's going to be. Stars in the sky, sand by the sea. Every time that Abraham walked outside of his tent at night, what did he see? He saw all the stars. And he was reminded, so shall your descendants be. And during the day when he's walking by, you know, and the sand everywhere, what do you see, Abraham? I see sand. So shall your descendants be. God has a way to remind you, to stir up that faith, to act on that faith, to keep moving. God will always find a way to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to close here. God has given all a measure of faith. So right now, you may be watching online or sitting here today, you may be thinking, I really don't want anything to do with God, or I'm a million miles away from God, or I just want to live my own life, or I'm not interested. It's all right, God, you can be in heaven, I'm here. But, or you may be thinking, I've done too many things that God could ever accept me. I don't think I'm worthy to be accepted by God. And I think that's the big one that humanity faces today. And I'll tell you why I say that. It's because God has given to all a measure of faith. So regardless where we are on that spectrum, on that scale, from feeling so unworthy to I really don't care if God's alive or not, everyone on that scale has been given the same measure of faith to believe. Everyone. And what happens is, when each and every one of us hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we hear about the goodness of God, and we start believing that, there, that in-birth faith that God has placed in you to believe starts stirring up. That's what happens. And right now, today, I don't know if you're walking with God, or maybe you like God, you love God, but you've never made a commitment in Christ. That you might be thinking, I don't know if I really want to do that, or I don't know if I, there's so many I don't know. I want to tell you today that the greatest thing you'll ever do is to believe. To believe, and that inner persuasion, that inner conviction in your spirit right now, that God is alive. Jesus is alive. That Christ is risen from the dead. Always remember that. These famous philosophers in life that try and explain away the existence of God, can I say they need to get a life? A born-again life? Because their arguments go round and round and round in circles and end up nowhere. That at the end of the day, when we all lay our head on the pillow at night and we begin to wonder, what happens after I die? Where do I go? Do I just cease to exist? No, you don't. You're a living, eternal being. And every living, eternal being, when they die, they go somewhere. And the Bible makes it very clear that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And people don't make it to heaven by accident. It's by choice. And today, let me encourage you that God Himself, I believe if you're not with God today, or you've fallen away from God, I pray that the Spirit of God would be just moving on your spirit and identifying with this faith that God has given you, because the first thing you'll realize that God is good. He is so good. And God is not against you, that God is for you. He's always for you. And so today, the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, it says you will be saved. For out of, it says about that, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what does it mean that if you believe in your heart? It's meaning believing that inner conviction and understanding that God is reaching out to you even right now. God's reaching out to you. If you're watching online, God is reaching out to you to know that this inner birth faith came from God. And God wants to stir that faith up inside of you to a place that we take notice of it. And maybe even begin to start learning more about the things of God or the Bible. And as we start to read, it all makes sense. It all comes together. That we go, wow, this is truth. And when we believe and our belief comes and meets with that in-birth faith that God has placed in us, the greatest miracle that will ever happen to any human being will happen, and that is the born again experience, born from above. Once we were lost in darkness, we were without God. But when you and I came to Christ, that those of us that are born again, sitting here today or watching online, that we know this side of the cross, what salvation is, what it does, how wonderful it is. But to those of us who still yet have not made that decision, know this for sure, that the greatest thing that happened to you is to give your life to Jesus, to believe that God sent His only Son to die a horrible death for you so that you may live. And if we believe that, and we join our believing with that in-birth faith, that's where the miracle happens. See, many of us as Christians, and maybe Christian for years, to say, I've never really seen a miracle. You born again? Yes, you're a miracle. I don't know if I've ever been able to use faith. You born again? Yes, you have released faith. You believed. You believed the promise. You believed God's promise. And you are a result today as a child of the living God. It doesn't get better than that. I want to, just this morning, just give an altar call here. That if there's anyone here this morning, that you're sensing that and knowing that inner conviction and knowing, I know God does love me. I want you to understand this. We don't have to clean ourselves up so that we can come to God. He wants you to come just as you are. I mean, look at me. You heard some of the testimonies from what I did before I was a born-again Christian. But I remember the night that I got saved, I had been drinking and smoking things that I shouldn't have, and I was still influenced by this substance or substances. But I remember that night at 2 a.m. in the morning when Chantel led me to Christ. I knew that was the end of the road for me, for my old life, because nothing was really working. But I remember saying to Chantel, maybe tomorrow, because I'm, you know, affected by substances. She says, no, you're here now. Let's do this now. And I understood something about God. He doesn't want us to clean ourselves up so we can come to Him. That's religion. He wants you to come just as you are. And you may feel today, I'm so unworthy. I don't deserve it. I've done too many wrong things. So what? That's what grace is about. I've made so many mistakes. Yeah. If you were to hear the story of most of us here today, you would understand you're in good company. But it's about the saving grace of God. He gives this to us because we don't deserve it. It's His love for us. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to ask if we can all bow our heads. Close your eyes if you wish. And I'm just going to lead you through a prayer very similar to what I prayed a bit over 30 years ago now. And if you truly, from the depths of your heart, believe what I'm about to lead, the prayer lead you in, if you believe it, you will experience such a great work of God in your life this morning. It'll be enormous. It'll be life-changing forever. It'll be an eternal work that'll take place in your life now in the name of Jesus. Just believe. But the Bible says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Come on, let's do this together. If this is what you desire, it's what we all need. Would you follow me in this prayer this morning? Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you, Jesus, are the Son of God, that you died for me and you raised him from the dead for me. This day, I'm sorry for all the things that I've done wrong. And I turn to you, Jesus. I ask that I be born again, born from above, received into the family of God in the name of Jesus. Now, if you have prayed that prayer for the first time, don't be shy. I'm not going to ask you to come out the front, but just acknowledge your confession. Would you just raise your hand up? Please, just be bold. Just raise your hand up. Maybe you've made a recommitment this morning. I see one up the back. Is there anyone else? Hand up just nice and high, very quickly, up and down. Please, just very quickly. I won't be too long here, but this is very important for you. Amen. Last time. Is there anybody else here? Just your hand straight up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? There's salvation in the house of God today. And I thank God for that. that in-birth faith has done a work. Now, I'll be going to see a couple a little bit later after the service, but some of the leaders may come and see you. But I want to congratulate you for the decision you've made this morning. That is just wonderful. And we thank the Lord for what he's done. Church, as I've closed, as I finish here right now, have faith in God. No matter what you're going through, have faith in God. He's deposited in you faith. And take time to hear the hearing of faith. Hear it. Discern it. Understand it. Believe it. Then walk in it. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you. Amen.
Joining us, we pray God's richest blessing on your life. If you haven't already, make sure to join us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also find us at LoganCityChristianChurch.com. See you next week.